veils, hats, and headbands. Our pamphlet, The Veil, is our most popular pamphlet. Many women were glad to obtain the valuable information it gave them. However, some women were not pleased. They felt the veil was something from the past and should remain in the past. Whatever their feelings might be, this pamphlet gave women the information they needed to make an informed decision as to whether or not they should wear the veil. A lady called with this question, "Why did the article not mention hats or mantillas?" Answer, "No mention was made concerning the mantilla because it is basically a veil that falls down over the woman's shoulders. We did not address hats because of the limited space when writing in pamphlet form. Thus, the reason for this pamphlet is to further reveal the happenings of long ago when women, for the most part, appreciated their femininity. We will briefly examine the relationship that the wearing of a hat has with the wearing of a veil. A head covering. Since a hat covers the head and the veil is a head covering, hats were considered a substitute for the veil. However, the wearing of the hat in place of the veil, innocent though it may have seemed to be, did create another opportunity for the feminists to get the veil off the heads of good Catholic women. This is so important to understand. The feminists were looking and plotting to remove the veil from the heads of women, and they seized every opportunity the church leaders gave them. The feminists had a vision, but like most of our leaders in the home, our leaders in the church did not. They just looked the other way. One seminary professor told us, "I remember when it all took place. I just did not realize the significance of it. You caught what I missed." Now, this priest was not only a very holy man, he was also one who trained young men for the priesthood. Wouldn't that be a case of the blind leading the blind? It must be kept in mind that no place in sacred scripture does it state that a woman's head must be hatted, nor does it state that a hat is a sign of submission and respect. The wearing of hats by men and women tend to come and go, governed primarily by the styles of clothing worn at any given time. So one could reason that if the wearing of the hat is something that goes in and out of style, and if the veil can be substituted by a hat, then the veil also is just something that can come and go. Chapel veil. The chapel veil fulfilled a practical purpose. Ladies with small purses or wallets could easily carry the small veil with them. This came in handy if she was out shopping or visiting and happened to pass a Catholic church. She was able to stop and make a visit, for she could always have her chapel veil handy. The chapel veil also served a good purpose for small children, where a full-length veil would be too large for a child's small head. However, in far too many instances, the chapel veil was used strictly to fulfill a church law. They followed the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, legalism. Many women would buy a chapel veil that was the same color as their hair. Due to the veil's matching color to the hair and its small size, one could barely tell she had anything on her head. The feminist mentality was already having its effect in the early 60s. Headband. From the chapel veil, we went to the little headband with the little flowers and lace that covered practically nothing of the head, but it was cute. There you have it. There was not really anything left for the feminist to take off the woman's head. In many cases, practically speaking, it was already off. One must admit, women are shrewd. Liberal women used this trait to manipulate. They successfully got practically all our Catholic women to break all three forms of church teachings: scripture, tradition, and canon law. Anyone who is 50 years of age or older will remember the outlandish hats that some women wore, especially for Easter. You might also recall that it was extremely difficult for a small child to see the priest with all the feathers, ribbons, and lace protruding from the already large monstrosity that adorned the often not-so-submissive heads of the ladies. Yes, the hat covered their heads, but whether they were covering their head for the right reason is extremely doubtful. I am not being critical of these women, for they, much like women today, were not really aware of why they did the things they did. The society was, by and large, conservative, so women wore head coverings because everyone else did. How virtuous this was, only God knows. However, one thing is certain. When one does what is right, irrespective of the motive, we are all better off. At this time, the feminists had not yet gained primacy over the church, the Bible, and tradition. That, although, was already in the making. It must be kept in mind that no feminist then or today would associate the wearing of a hat with submission or respect. The veil, however, is a completely different matter. Feminists wouldn't touch a veil with a 10-foot pole. They know exactly what it symbolizes, submission, and they hate that word with a vengeance. One young mother was confronted by a fiery-eyed feminist as she was exiting the church wearing her shoulder-length veil. The woman spewed these barbed words, "Do you know how much work we did to get that veil off the heads of women?" One thing you have to give feminists, they know what they want and they know how to get it. As children of Eve, they all know what they have to do is just keep on pushing, and men, whether in the church or in the home, regardless of their position, in the vast majority of the cases, will yield to them. Even if they themselves have to ignore tradition, church teaching, and Holy Scripture. How about you? As a woman, do you hate the word submission also? If you do, you might want to take a look at your children. Do they have a problem with being obedient to you? Do they act as though they have been mistreated, abused, and totally misunderstood when you try to get them to do something they don't want to do? If so, you, for the most part, are very likely responsible for their unhealthy view of authority. A mother teaches her child to resent authority by her own resentful attitude toward her husband's God-given authority. Remember, if we can reinterpret Scripture in such a way that mom is no longer required to be submissive to dad, then the children can do likewise and reinterpret Scripture to justify being disobedient to mom. We can carry this logic even further so that dad no longer has to love mom and lay down his life for her. Now, you should be able to understand why there is a skyrocketing divorce rate and so much disharmony among the few Catholic couples that manage to fight it out to the bitter end. Who's wearing the hats today? The irony of all this is that if you see someone wearing a hat today, it will most likely be a man, and he will likely be donning his hat inside a building. This is something dignified men in days past would never have done. To add insults to injury, how often have you seen these modern-day gentlemen seated at a table, eating a meal, with a hat or a cap on their not-so-dignified head? Sad, isn't it? There was a time when a man taking his hat off was a sign of being a gentleman. I suppose you have to have a man before you can have a gentleman. The world is sorely in need of real men who have abandoned juvenile behavior. With the blurring of roles between men and women, is there any wonder that the majority of marriages end in divorce? One statistic has had the divorce rate at 60%. In some sections in the U.S., it is even higher. Legalism. That is studying the teachings of the church to find out what you don't have to do. The church speaks of the spirit of the law. Bishop Sheen used the words, the knowing, that is, the deep understanding of a subject. People who deeply love the Lord and are striving to serve Him are constantly trying to find out what is pleasing to Him, and once they have obtained that knowledge, they eagerly try to incorporate it into their lives. I often say, people who love the Lord do not concern themselves with church law. Why? Because they are far exceeding the law. To them, the law is the minimum, the bottom of the barrel. Much like an honor student will not concern himself with whether a 69 or 70 is a passing grade. Burdensome rules and regulations. Parents who view the church's teachings as burdensome and oppressive are likely to bring up children with similar mentalities. The children, however, having less knowledge and understanding, are far more likely to abandon the church than their parents. Even if the children don't leave the church, it will be difficult for them to be truly happy, and they will never become the persons God intended them to be. This, my dear reader, is a problem with legalism. In conclusion, I would like to ask the reader to ponder these questions. 1. Was St. Paul inspired when he wrote that a woman should be veiled? 2. Do you believe that the church was wrong for 2,000 years concerning the veil, and the feminists corrected the error by getting women to abandon it? 3. If you were a woman who has chosen not to wear the veil, could you give a reason which would illustrate that your choice comes from a deep and profound love of God? Answering these questions will give you a pretty good idea as to whom you are giving your allegiance. The veil, when it is worn for the right reasons, respect and submission, along with a beautiful dress, complements a woman's femininity. So it could be said that the veil is a beautiful expression of a woman's femininity.